From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 206 with guest Ken Weston, recorded Friday, March 18th, 2011. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. With me, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Hey, Richard. How's it going today?
I'm good. Up for some Run As?
Yeah. Going to do some fun conversation on the IT side today.
I'm ready for some Run As. I'm ready too. And the spring session is fully in swing. I'm hither and yon again. Amsterdam 1 week, Orlando the next week. It's going to be challenging to keep the show queue full.
I really don't know how you do it, man. I mean, I travel enough. You're just a traveling machine.
Well, and the big thing is it's pollen season here in Vancouver, so I'm actually kind of keen to get out of here because one can only take so many antihistamines before your brain explodes. So, you know, the nice thing is you're only allergic at home. You're not allergic elsewhere.
Well, in Oregon, you can't buy half the antihistamines anymore without climbing over the counter.
Right. So. Yeah, what fun. Well, let's talk to our guest. Our guest today is Ken Weston. He brings 11 years of experience in technology security, designing, building, and managing complex systems for companies such as iOvation, Centennial Software, Tektronix, iVelocity, and Pacific University. Ken's research and development in the area of endpoint security has been included in the Certified Ethical Hacker training materials and numerous publications, books, and guides, and he is regularly interviewed by the press as a subject matter expert regarding device theft, data security, and privacy. He holds a BA from Lewis and Clark College and an MS from the University of Portsmouth. Welcome, Ken.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on.
Most importantly, Ken is currently the CEO and founder of a security software company called ActiveTrack.
Right.
Here in Portland, Oregon.
And you guys are in the business of keeping track of cell phones?
Cell phones and laptops.
Right. Yeah. Everything that people take with them and leave on airplanes.
Pretty much. You're correct.
So... there's lots of layers here to mobile device security. I mean, I guess starting at convincing your employee to actually put in a password to use their device.
There's a lot of things that people should be doing in terms of security. It usually does come down to the end user. Unfortunately, technology can't replace common sense.
That's the truth.
Yeah, there's a lot of built-in security measures that even the various operating systems provide. Rarely are they used. Sometimes it's just too inconvenient. That's why you'll see probably a lot of companies are pretty smart. They actually have two devices usually the person carries. Maybe a BlackBerry for their own company, and then a personal phone that doesn't have access to corporate information.
Yeah, that does seem to be the standard combination, iPhone, BlackBerry. And the BlackBerry's locked down, and the iPhone is not.
Right. Yep.
And someday, maybe this will change or we can integrate it in some way. I guess the big reason, and I'm not a BlackBerry user, but I've worked with a few folks who've used them, and it seems like it's one of the few devices that really gets this idea of corporate security on the device.
Well, I think they've had a long history of it. I mean, they've... the BlackBerry Enterprise Server, they've been at it for a long time. The iPhone and the Android, they're just trying to get the product out to market. And now I think they're starting to look more at security. I've even seen that Motorola, for example, is actually building some of their own APIs just for security specifically. So, it'll take a while to catch up, but they'll get there.
And I don't want to leave Windows Mobile out of this, even though I know it's a tiny chunk of the market. But as a guy who's fairly literate in Exchange, there's a lot of deep embedment in mobile device security for Windows Mobile in Exchange. I can push a lot of rules down. It's basically a group policy extension right onto the device.
Yeah, it's interesting. We had a government agency that actually approached us, and they said, hey, we're still using Windows Mobile 6.5. It's because they knew how to secure it, they knew how to protect it.
Right.
So, if it's sometimes the latest and greatest isn't always the most secure.
Yeah, technically 6.5 is like a dead device, right? They've got 7 now, although I found 7, because it was a complete reboot, doesn't have the features that 6.5 has.
Yeah, it's a whole new system.
So they've, in some ways, have gone backwards in terms of the security profile. I mean, granted, it's really a 1.0 device, but if it was my obligation to secure mobile devices, I would be staying with 6.5.
Right.
So the consumerization of IT and the fact that, you know, I mean, you almost can't even avoid the fact that individuals who work at companies big and small have their own pieces of mobile technology. They're easy to carry. They're easy to use. They're convenient. They love them. It's become a part of the business marketplace, whether we like it or not. What are the pains that you're seeing when you're talking to organizations that they're feeling, and how are they trying to tackle the problems?
Yeah, I mean, we see that a lot. I mean, we, especially with our product, we, you know, it's consumer and business, and we've been moving more into the enterprise. And that's one thing that a lot of the businesses have been asked, is they don't care about tracking the device. They care more about securing the data on the device. And there's not a whole lot of tools out there that give IT administrators sort of this cross-platform control of the data on devices. And then that's kind of where we come in.
So, yeah, I guess ultimately you've achieved the goal if you simply wipe the device remotely.
Right, yeah, just remotely wipe any piece of information. We do some things, too, where we actually securely back it up. So that's one thing we're doing that nobody else is doing, is we actually encrypt the data on the device before it gets backed up into our servers.
Mm-hmm.
So not even we have access to your information. So your contacts, your photos, not only does that remain secure, but it also remains private.
Yeah, interesting point that this is not about, we don't really care about recovering devices. These things aren't that expensive in terms of hardware costs. I mean, you have a tough time spending $1,000 on a phone, much less $1,000 on most laptops these days. Even they've gotten pretty cheap. But the value of the data is dramatically higher than that.
Yeah, consumers care about the value of the device. Businesses don't really care so much. It's kind of a small drop in the pond for them.
Right.
But if they have a data breach, that can cost anywhere between $50,000 to $1 million or more,
sure,
depending on the information that's on that device. And it can be a loss of trust to their brand. It can cause all kinds of other issues. It can even destroy a business. So.
How much of this is actual corporate espionage, and how much of this is leaving your laptop on a plane?
I think most of it, from our stories from people, is that it's user error. I mean, they leave it in their car, or they get robbed out of their house. So many people get their laptop devices stolen out of their cars because they leave it, you know, right there in the front window.
Right.
Might as well just put a big sticker on this to steal me.
Oh, I left an empty laptop bag on a front seat once. That was a mistake. Cost me a window.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of that. A lot of smash and grab, a lot of, opportunistic theft. I don't think a lot of times the devices are actually stolen from the data, but sometimes that can just be an added bonus.
Yeah, it's just a question of whether anyone actually goes to any effort to try and recover the data, if they just want to resell the device and make some money that way.
Right. Yeah, usually it's your average meth addict, but sometimes it's not. So.
Yeah. And again, if you're talking about a laptop, if a laptop's just got good passwords on it, isn't that enough?
Unfortunately, no. You can crack pretty much any password for both Mac and Windows within about 5 minutes. It's really not meant to be a security measure. It'll slow someone down, but it's not going to stop them from getting access to the system itself.
Right.
Or if you just want to pull the hard drive and just to plug it into a different machine, take a read at it, if that hard drive is not encrypted, or if the data pieces of data are encrypted on the hard drive or whole disk encryption, you still have access to the information.
Now we've got, where does the iPad fit into this equation? Because I'm starting to see some really interesting business level apps running on the iPad.
The limitation there is always Apple itself. They're very restrictive in what they provide in terms of their API.
Right.
Every new version they come out with, though, they do kind of release a little bit of control, and you see some better security in there. We're actually working on some things for the enterprise for an iPhone app. We have one that's a little more consumer-focused, but we're working on one that will allow you to do the data wipe and all the other functionality that you can do. Basically with like mobile me and that sort of thing, but at an enterprise level.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one thing we are hearing a lot is like, it's great to have these devices, but it's really difficult to control them. If you have a lot of them if you're in healthcare, that's where these are moving into, our education, education in particular, a lot of schools have these iPads where they loan them out. One person actually said, it's like, it just feels like, you know, have a free iPad. These kids can just say they're stolen or whatever, and, you know, they got a free iPad. In healthcare, it's a little more serious where you have, you know, medical information, things like that, and medical apps that are running on these things. So the IT is really kind of scrambling to find a way to secure and control these devices.
Have you heard much from professionals in the IT field out there? I mean, so you have a lot of companies that for the longest time, they were BlackBerry shops, and that's the phones that they gave out, or the PDAs they gave out was a BlackBerry. Others that did Windows Mobile, right? Now we have Android phones, and we have the iOS devices and everything coming in, and everybody just kind of wants whatever it is that they like the most. Are you seeing companies? Are there still companies that are able to stick to the "we are a BlackBerry shop," or has the tide changed, so to speak, in terms of what an IT organization has to do?
Not successfully. it's funny. It's like, you know, there's policies and then there's practice. And I mean, one guy I know, he works pretty well. He works in like aviation. You know, they say they're not supposed to bring flash drives in, but he says, "Yeah, guys, do it anyway." You know, it's the only way they right. can get any actual work done. You know, they have to bring it home and work on the weekends and the evenings to meet the deadline. You know, so it's sort of a policy that these people know that they're breaking. A lot of times people are going to bring their own devices in. How do you control that? I may be required to have a BlackBerry, but if I want to bring my iPad to work, you know, odds are if I do have it to work, I'm going to be loading some information on that device. How do the administrators control that? Right now there really isn't a way. Something we do is, you know, if you have a lifestyle device that you want to bring in, you know, the IT administrator can say, hey, you can, you know, have a free license of software, so at least you can secure that device. You can remotely wipe the information and track it down if it's lost or stolen. You know, and that's the thing we are seeing, you know, basically offering our software free to those customers, but their administrators also have access to it. So
I guess this is the trade, right? The easiest thing is to simply bar those devices, provide no means to put data onto them. And, you know, we're back to filling USB slots with epoxy.
Exactly.
Just to keep stuff off. It's the much more challenging.
You know that I've worked with a couple of banks in the past that's actually what they did when their auditors would come on site. They had epoxy in the USB ports.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not making that up. It's true. We really have filled USB ports with epoxy, removed all, you know, removable devices of any kind. Like, the data can't be off the machine. This is not the most productive way to work. We've got to find a more productive intermediary layer so that folks can use the devices they want to use.
So what is the future, Ken? I mean, what do you think about when it comes to, if there's all these different devices and that's just kind of the way it is, and we have, and some of them are managed, you know, or owned or purchased by the enterprise and some aren't. What are the IT pros that are out there that have to try to find ways to solve these problems supposed to think? You know, I mean, this consumerization becomes a security problem, right? Not to mention just a general manageability problem. What do you think the future holds?
Well, you know, it really is one of those things where they have to look at the risk versus the productivity gain. You know, if you're working with secret, you know, information, stuff that's not allowed to be, you know, even utilized today, then, you know, you're going to have stricter policies and you're going to have to educate the employees. And, I mean, even make the, grounds for termination if you actually, you know, break these sort of rules. So, you know, really is, it comes down to the user. I mean, you have to educate the user. If they're not aware of the risks, if they're not aware that, you know, hey, losing this iPad that I brought in with some information on it could, you know, kill this company, you know, maybe they just don't know. You know, I think it is. There are a lot of productivity gains that can be made with these devices. And I think a lot of times IT shops and businesses in general, they're sort of trying to weigh, you know, on one hand the productivity and then one hand trying to secure it. And I think there's a huge market for securing those devices and making that less of a hassle for, you know, the administrators. You know, it's going to require, you know, more developers and, of course, device manufacturers to open things up a little more too. Security companies to go in there and, you know, innovate and find solutions for this particular problem.
Yeah, we definitely see, don't we, a lot of the sort of the the siloing of the different brands and the different vendors. You know, if you want to, sure, we'll build a great security management package for our brand, and you can buy that and install it and manage that in a silo. But if you do have multiple OS versions or device types out there, there really isn't one way to manage all of those consistently, is there?
Well, of course, our software, but you know, still managing the data, and it's still difficult to do it across platform. But I think over time, as demand from the market and these businesses say we need to have these security measures in place, I'm hoping that maybe there'll be some sort of open standard, something like what's been done with Exchange or BlackBerry Enterprise Server, but have it be some sort of open standard that's cross platform. That would make things a lot easier for developers and companies alike.
So we're primarily talking about laptops these days when we talk about data loss, and I mean, that's where most stuff ends up, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. I don't know about that.
Just in terms
there's been some pretty big losses and breaches and stuff related to handheld mobile devices as well.
What do you see, Ken, like in terms of you're running the software, what's getting reported the most these days?
Well, the issue is that as these devices, the mobile devices get more advanced, the capacities are increasing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no, and you also have the tablets. Don't forget those as well. So these they're basically laptops that are even smaller. So they're easier to lose. They're a heck of a lot easier to steal. And they have just as much data, if not more data, than the laptops that we've run into with data breaches. They don't have the security measures or mechanisms in place at the operating system level. They're easier to hack into, even with passwords. It's almost a gold mine for a thief, really. Especially if you're actually doing a targeted attack. If you ever hear of a lot of people that are going to, if they go to China, even our own government recommends don't bring your own mobile phone. Try to go with that one, or you can lease one when you're there. But always, act as if everything you do is being watched. So there's a lot of corporate espionage that's going on. Even over there, let's say don't bring your own laptop or anything like that either. So, everything, it's if you're after data, every device is fair game.
Right. I'm starting to see folks, because of the way Kindle works, loading up emails and things onto their Kindle to read on the plane. And that's a really almost completely unsecurable device.
Yeah, it was never designed for security. Just like a flash drive was never designed for security.
Right.
It was designed to store information, and what kind of information is stored on that device is up to the user. So, again, it gets them down to training. I mean, if I saw an employee that was doing that with, sensitive information, I'd definitely be slapping their wrist.
Now, I feel like the USB thing's largely been solved by encryption now, that we're able to, in the latest versions of Windows, push encryption rules down so that if you plug a USB key into any of my machines, it's immediately going to insist it needs to be encrypted to put anything on it.
Yeah, to a degree. I mean, as long as people are using it, but maybe some people want to get around the encryption and, they'll find other ways of putting that flash drive on and, getting secure data off, or they're bringing their own laptop in, put a USB flash drive into that one. There's always a way around it. And, it's funny, even though it's unintentional, it always seems like these end users always find ways of putting the company at risk one way or another, even if you provide them the best tools available.
They always find a way to circumvent.
One of the areas that you focus on, Ken, is, so we've talked so far about, protecting the data and how important that is, and clearly that's critical, especially at the enterprise level. But what if a device just goes missing? You've been spending quite a bit of time over the last few years working on and thinking about that problem. So what, maybe a lot of people, Bill, aren't even necessarily aware of what's available today. So let's say a device does go missing. What can I do at that point in time?
If you have our software on it, you can actually activate tracking through our web control panel. When the device connects to the internet, it'll actually get location. We found a way to get location off Wi-Fi network. It's actually similar to the technology that was done with the first iPhone. So even though the device doesn't have GPS, we can still tell you where it is within 10 to 20 meters of accuracy.
Wow.
And it even works indoors in a denser environment, so it's perfect when it comes to theft. You'll also get a nice little photo of the person that's using your device using the integrated web camera. So that's been really instrumental for law enforcement to go in and recover these devices. It's getting a lot more difficult for them to recover devices just off the IP address, like with some of our competing products. They have to go through a lengthy subpoena process that can take months. We've even had a lot of law enforcement that reached out to us, you know, that said, you know, we really like your solution better because you have a photo and you have a location that allows us to do just a little bit of detective legwork, and we can get that device back in a short amount of time.
As former law enforcement, it's always interesting to me to hear that you have some pretty good stories related to actual real-world recoveries, right? Maybe you could share. Maybe you could share one or two.
I mean, that's been great that, you know, we've sort of literally had a window into the underworld of theft rings as a result of our software. You know, it's led to larger crimes that, you know, being unveiled. Everything from identity theft, car theft, firearms, illegal firearms, and drugs, of course. We had one device that we had stolen out of someone's apartment here in Portland. We didn't get any connection for about 2 weeks, and I was getting a little concerned. Then all of a sudden, we started getting connections in Missouri. It was all over Missouri. We get a photo of this guy. He's in a hotel. He's at a car dealership. He's at a bar. He's at a McDonald's. You know, we're getting all these photos and location. And I was trying to figure out, is this accurate? How did this device end up in Missouri? The device was actually sold twice to this guy's friends. The police went in and, you know, they interrogated these guys. And come to find out, the kid, his father, lives in Portland. And what looks like happened is that they're stealing or they're buying stolen equipment from meth addicts and other people, giving them a little bit of money or drugs. And then they would ship these truckloads of stolen property to Missouri. And then they would fence it then there on Craigslist. Because the first thing you're going to do if your device is stolen in Portland, Oregon, is you're going to look on Craigslist in Portland, right? You're not
Portland,
think,
Craigslist,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I'm not going to go look in Missouri, you know, look in this area. So that they're pretty smart now. They were doing that. So in that one bus, we actually unveiled this very large Russian organized crime ring. So
very cool. Caught the fencing organization.
So your product was part of breaking up a theft ring.
Yes. Yeah. We've had a few of those. Another one was here with the Southeast Portland schools. They were getting repeatedly robbed. They were actually targeting the Mac systems because they're very expensive. And the schools were hitting me repeatedly. One of the schools got smart and became our customer. Literally within a week, that school was hit again, and they stole some laptops with our software on it. We tracked them to Vancouver, Washington. And again, this one led to a bunch of larger crimes. The guys that were involved did not realize that our software was part of it, and they, the way the detectives were asking them all these questions, they believed that they were each kind of turned on each other. So they got half a dozen guys that all kind of just ended up turning on each other. They didn't even know our software was involved. And one guy in particular is a pretty bad guy. They got him for car theft, and they were actually looking at like six other burglaries through him. So, you know, we got like half a dozen burglaries and crime solved thanks to you know, our little software.
Nice. Hey, just on another element of this, when you get a cell phone stolen, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, your life unravels. Ever tried to use a payphone?
Oh, big time.
I don't know any phone numbers anymore. Right?
Have you ever tried to call the carrier and get them to help you?
Yeah. It's pretty...
That's not going to happen.
From an IT perspective, just the set of policies in place to deal with, when your phone is gone, you know, some card or something to say, here are the numbers you need to know, here's how you do certain things. Like, just try to make a phone call without your cell phone. Because I think we've forgotten.
If your phone is stolen, be sure to call IT and let them know. That might be kind of tough because I just got my phone stolen.
Did you really?
No. I'm saying... I've had a phone stolen before, but not recently.
Yeah.
It's okay. You have Gadget Track installed. You're safe.
Yeah. But
There you go.
The whole trick is that'll perhaps get my device back or at least protect my data, but it's how, when I'm on the road, to deal with the fact that all of my information was in that device.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm stranded. I don't have any way to communicate. I don't have any info I need. I mean, it's an interesting problem just at how do you cope at that moment.
Yeah, I mean, that's why backups are good. That's why, you know, we even do the backup. You can always, you know, access the computer and get access to your contacts and other sensitive information that was backed up on the phone. But yeah, if you lose your phone, you're kind of out of luck until you get a new one. Like we got rid of our landline. We don't have a landline phone. So, luckily I have like 3 or 4 phones, but it's at the same time, it can be a major hassle.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Well, you look at, what happened in Japan with the earthquake and tsunami and, how fragile the infrastructure actually is and, what keeps working and what doesn't.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, for emergencies, things like that. When there are emergencies, we've all seen, like from 9/11, a cell phone just becomes worthless. You can't access, can't call anybody. You can't, get overloaded. So.
It's interesting to see how resilient the internet was through all of that. That when, mm-hmm. even when the cell phone networks pack it in, somehow, the internet was built to keep functioning. And it seems to be the thing that hangs on the longest.
Definitely. I mean, they did a really good job of rerouting a lot of things too, that were going through some of those areas, and they did it fairly quickly. So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is really, really something. And it seems like in disasters, Wi-Fi nodes are the key technology to set up Wi-Fi nodes and get them hooked together and try and get communications working that way.
Right.
I guess, once again, we get back to those mobile devices, and now virtually every mobile device also supports Wi-Fi. So you get tracking from that rather than worrying about the 3G networks?
We can use a combination. So what we'll do is we'll try to get a GPS signal if we can't. It would go to Wi-Fi positioning, and we can actually get location, within 10 to 20 meters on the Android phone.
Right.
And then if that's unavailable, then we do cell tower triangulation. So it's a hybrid version of location-based technologies. No matter what, we're going to get a location.
Trying to get it from whatever you've got.
Yeah, just different levels of accuracy depending on what signals are available.
Right. Start with the most detailed and work your way from there, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
So what's the next set of problems coming?
I think they need to solve the mobile data problem. It's going to be it's going to get bigger. It's going to get scarier. You're going to see, especially with the pickup rates for Android and these other smartphone platforms. It's going to get out of hand. It's going to take a few major data breaches before people start getting a little smarter about it, and then some of the technology catches up. That's going to be the biggest issue, and the devices are going to get smaller. I think tablets as well. I mean, that's kind of the new thing as well. Is your laptop you used to carry around with you, and people are replacing them with tablets, and you run into the same issues you're running into with the mobile side because it's running the same operating system, but people are using it for a lot more work related things. Where they have keyboards and things like that, they're actually storing documents on those devices like they would a laptop. And it doesn't have the same security measures that your traditional laptop has. They're able to, after, over a long period of time, secure the laptops, actually put all these different, tools and mechanisms in place, and a lot of the encryption technologies. They just don't exist right now for the tablet.
Do we need to fit the cloud into this equation somehow?
Securing data in the cloud, that's an issue. Mm-hmm. Trying to secure that data. I mean, one reason we don't actually store any information in the cloud. We actually store all data on dedicated servers. Right. We take advantage of cloud computing to sort of manage heavy load when a lot of devices are connecting. But all the data we actually store on dedicated servers, we encrypt it. Someone actually asked me, what should startups be doing? And one thing that they should be doing is focusing on security.
Right.
Most of the time, these guys, they get a little bit of money, but they got to build a product. Security takes a back seat to everything else.
Right.
I've even seen this in some of our competitors where, we actually thought about encrypting the data on the device and respecting people's privacy. Some of these other products, you log in to these backup solutions and you see photos, all your photos and all your contact lists in their web UI. That means their staff has access to all that information. And if there's ever a data breach, that information is sitting there unencrypted. You're just asking for trouble. And so a lot of the stuff is just startups, the developers, they need to think about security out of the box. Look at the recent Docker data breach, for example. They're storing passwords, in plain text, and it wasn't malicious. It was just, it was a laziness, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
They just didn't really feel it was something that they needed to worry about. As a result of that, tons of people had their, you know, their Gmail accounts compromised. So, you know, there needs to be a lot more focus on security with startups. And I think there's some things that some of the, you know, the development platforms can do to make that easier. But, you know, I think the developers need to kind of start developing with a secure mindset.
Ken Weston, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Ken. Really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.